I want to turn the class over to David and Jill in just a minute, but I just wanted to say a little bit about our Faith Promise missions that we're emphasizing this month. We don't have what you call a pledge, but we have cards that we pass out that you put the amount down that you are making a commitment under God to support our missionaries. And nobody follows up on that. You know, we've talked about vows in the Bible where you make a vow with God. You know, that's between you and God, what you want to support Faith and Promise missions with. And that's supposed to be above your tithes and offerings. I participate in that. Christy does. I'm sure many of you do. But in times like this, when the economy's getting rough and the missionaries are suffering and some churches are backing out on their support, we need to reevaluate what we're giving and how we're supporting them. And this is the time of year that we do that in this church. And what they do, they use these cards to determine some kind of gauge of how much support we can give to the missionaries that we're supporting. And we're supporting around 40 at various levels. Most of them we're supporting at the $100 level. We're supporting the Coltranes at the $100 level. The pastor has and the mission board, and this is our mission board, folks, so you'll know who to talk to if you need to talk to them. Don and Jane Sintak and Mark and Cindy Beach is mission boards along with the pastor. And they look at what resources we have and the missionaries that we're supporting and the results that we're getting in the field, the reports we're getting back and stuff like that, to make determinations how we can best use the resources we have to support our missionaries. And we have increased some of the missionary support. And the pastor, he stated at the men's breakfast that the missions board has decided that instead of trying to take on more missionaries, there's a lot of missionaries out there hurting now, that they're evaluating each one of them, that we're supporting, and see where we can increase the support for them. We can only increase the support for our missionaries if those that have committed to Faith Promise Mission give or increase their giving. So take that in consideration as we're emphasizing that during the services. I'm going to turn it over to Dave now, Dave and Jill, and I'm excited about what's happening in the Philippines. We've got a taste of that at the men's breakfast, and the women got a taste of it at the luncheon, but they got a little bit more time here to talk to us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have mixed emotions this morning. I'm going to stay to what I felt God leading me to do. And weaving some of the account of what's happened in the Philippines with the typhoon, with some Bible verses to kind of encourage all of us. But the mixed emotions is, this is a Faith Promise Missions Conference you're having, or emphasis this weekend. We do the same thing in our church in MacArthur Leyte as well, and I'm not going to jump the gun on this. I've already told this brother what happened in our place, but I am so excited as to what God will do through His people.
Amen.
It's not a money issue with God. I mean, if you know anything about the Lord, and if you've been in this church very long, you've been taught by a good pastor, okay?
Amen.
But God owns everything.
Amen.
The economy does not affect God.
Amen.
And that was a few less, so I'm getting it. Okay? So what this comes down to is a matter of faith. It's all the way we're going to please God. When you got saved, it was a matter of faith, trust in God. And a matter of giving is trusting God and believing what He says He'll do. And believing, what you believe is proven, is proved by the what we do. Like my wife and I talk about this a lot. Talk is cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's where the rubber meets the road is where it's at. And if you want to be happy, and that's by what I'm hearing already, I'm sure many of you are participating in your missions giving, tithes and missions giving. If you want to be happy, be obedient to God. What does it say? Trust and obey. What's the rest of that?
Well,
there's no other way
to be happy.
Molly Pyan. Molly Pyan, is that close to yours? Be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. I'm going to have Jill come and take about 5-6 minutes and share one of the stories about the typhoon. Immediately after the typhoon, one of our neighbors, I think that's the one you're going to, yeah, we had opportunity to talk to, and then I'll come back and share some things from the Word of God with you.
You're looking at survivors. We've been called a lot of things these last few months. We are survivors, we're refugees, we've always been aliens over there. And there's a fourth one, but I forget what it was. But we are survivors after the fact. After the fact of Haiyan, locally known as Yolanda. So if you hear us speak about Yolanda, it's the same storm. Philippines just gives it a different name. For many years, we've been there beginning our 17th year. For many years, we have asked the Lord to break down the barriers. It's very obvious we're not Filipino. Filipino people are very gracious, very open. But there is a wall, culturally, spiritually, physically. There's always that wall, even with our own people in our own church. There is, or has been, there's just, we lack a certain connect. Now, with the Christians, the connect is the Lord. But in our neighborhood, we've always gotten along with our neighbors beautifully, gracious, precious people. But we were always the foreigners. And we had asked the Lord, you know, show us, how do we get beyond this? And this has been, as I say, 17 years. Yolanda instantly brought us beyond the barrier that we had known was there and that we felt in our heart and they felt in their heart. I think probably 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks after the storm, we had been evacuated by the Marines. Yes.
American Marines.
Biggest man I ever saw. And but we kept returning. We had to go out for safety first, and then secondly, as time continued, we had to go out to conduct business. We would go to Manila for maybe a week, and then we would come back. We could not go back and stay in our home, but we were back in town and staying with friends. Probably 3 to 4 weeks after, we were in our neighborhood again. And of course, because there were many refugees that took refuge in our home, because it was the only home in the area that was standing, as soon as they'd see us coming, they'd come running, you know, and it's just wonderful. But our heart was burdened for them because there was this empty look. They were vacant. Filipinos have a sparkle in their eye, but it was gone. It was just vacant. And that vacancy is that they had no hope. Their hope was gone. So many that we spoke with lost their faith. Now, they'll go back to the Catholic Church, but they were disillusioned. And so I was walking through the neighborhood one day, and Gemma, I had spoken to Gemma literally for years. Hi, how are you? You know, good morning. Isn't this a lovely day? But the topic of conversation changed in 4 short hours one day. And the first comment we make is, were you here during the storm? And the answer is yes. And everything melts away. And they listen to us and we listen to them. Very long story, very short. The first thing is, early on the conversation was, we weren't warned. We were not told. Nobody told us how bad the storm was going to be, and nobody warned us of the storm surge. What a segue. Nobody told me of devastation. And the Lord just, I can hardly wait to go back because He opens doors. The first thing people say, nobody told me. Nobody told me this storm surge was coming and it killed thousands. 10,000 plus.
And counting.
Yeah, continuing. When we left, well, just last week, 2 weeks ago, there was report. They're still finding bodies. Gemma and I were talking, and the conversation is nobody told us. If I had known, I would have prepared. If I had known, I would have prepared. You talk about an open door for the gospel. And we talked about, well, there's a bigger storm coming. Well, of course, she's thinking a physical storm rise, you know, and she goes into panic mode. And God opens the door, and I tell Gemma, nobody prepared us for this storm. But just the fact that nobody told us didn't stop the storm. The storm still came. We still had to go through it. We are scarred forever. They are scarred forever. Families are destroyed. Just the fact that you don't know doesn't mean it's not coming. And the Lord allowed me to go into the gospel with her. And I explained how that she doesn't have to go through this second storm. She does have a warning. And those that she is trusting in are not telling her the warning, but it's there. And I can show it to you in black and white. And you're an intelligent woman, and you can read it for yourself. You don't even have to trust me.
That's right.
You read it for yourself, and you will be warned. And then you can decide if it's worth following through and being prepared for that storm. What an open door. I mean, I was just all but shouting.
Wow.
In the course of the conversation. In all my years, I've never had this happen. The light came in her eyes. And she interrupted me. She said, "Oh, Mom Jill, he's my substitute." Woo! Back to shout. And all of a sudden I said, "Well, why do you need a substitute?" And she gave me the gospel.
Right.
She gave it back to me. The point I want you to understand is that for such a time as this, right now, God had us there at 60 plus to survive that storm. We were survivors after the fact. But there can be survivors prior to the fact. Here, wherever you go, the prisons, the RU, wherever your circle takes you, you're looking at people that can be survivors before the fact, because there will be no survivors after the fact of that next storm that's coming if they don't know Christ. Please, please pray for Gemma. My heart is very heavy because I have not abandoned her in my heart, but I can't get back to her. I'm trusting the Lord. We gave her a Bible. We're working to get contacts, but just moving around in Tacloban is still very difficult, and people don't go out of their way. It's very hard. Pray for Gemma, but pray for the thousands, millions, 6 million people were affected by that storm. The vast majority of them have no hope. So pray for the Christians, yes, but pray for those who aren't yet survivors. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
The storm, you probably figured it out, that she's talking about that's coming is when the Lord returns.
Amen.
Exactly. And, you know, it makes no difference if it's a typhoon or whatever. Look for the opportunities because they're there. They're there. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1, I'm going to read a portion of that scripture. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3. Verse says, "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." And he did. He did. In the storm that came there, there in Tacloban. And we, as my wife has already said, and you already know, we were there during that storm. Listen, we're not special people. We're no different than any other Christian.
That's right.
Okay? It's just, that's where God has us serving. He has you serving at the jail ministry or whatever it is, and the Reformers Unanimous and the different places you are. We all have an area that God has put us in. And so, but going back to the storm, I mean, it was the worst storm to my knowledge recorded in the Philippines, maybe in the world. I don't know. I just know it was bad. And this, of course, was a physical storm. But we, many of us in this room, have also suffered or gone through other storms. We've gone through, yes, physical storms, but also emotional storms, spiritual storms. They're storms. And as she talked about with Gemma a while ago, being prepared for these storms coming into our life. I tell my college students, they think I'm the hardest, toughest guy teaching in the college. I've got that reputation, and I don't know why they feel that way, because they've got it made if they'll just do what I tell them. I tell them, I said, look, the time to prepare for a test, is it the night before or earlier than that?
Earlier
than that. The night before is not the time. I tried that when I was in college. I it's called cramming. You know, I tried it. It didn't work. But if you would prepare a little bit every day along, people need to be prepared before the storm. Mm-hmm. Now, here's some observations that I made as from this situation, this opportunity that God allowed us to go through. As I said in the men's breakfast yesterday morning, I'm thankful that God counted us worthy of going through the storm.
Amen.
I don't ever want to go through another one.
Amen.
I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but I'm not totally dumb either. Okay? But I know this, whatever the storms are that are going to come in my life and your life, He's powerful enough to take care of them.
Amen.
And, you know, I think about the whirlwind and the storm, as we read in Nahum a while ago, and this storm, this typhoon, and the power, 200 mile an hour plus winds, a 20-foot storm surge. There's a lot of power in that. A lot of power in that. But you and I both know, or I think all of you in here will be able to say, we know, according to the Word of God, God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. In Psalm 62:11, it says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God.
Exactly.
Power belongeth unto God. And, you know, sad part is, you and I, as Christians, sometimes we forget that. We forget who God is and what He really can do. Pastor, I've never forgotten who God is. Let's look in our day-to-day living. Is there times in our day-to-day living that's proven that we forgot who God is? Can God supply? Can He take an old couple, older than my wife and I, and cause them to have a child?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Sure He can. Can He part the Red Sea?
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, you just go through the Bible and just see what God can do. You say, well, that's in the Bible. That was back during those times. What about our times?
And He still does it.
God doesn't change.
Exactly. We don't change.
God doesn't change. See, I know in my own personal life, sometimes my faith is like the ocean waves. Now, that's not the way it's supposed to be, but in case you hadn't figured it out, I'm a human being just like you. I'm a sinner, saved, but sinner nonetheless. So I figure if I have some of these problems, I don't think any of the rest of us are a whole lot different, whether we be Filipino or European descent or African descent or whatever it is. And don't anybody go out here and say, well, you're being a racist, because I will get extremely upset with you. All right? That's not the case. That's not the case. God did not make us all the same.
Exactly.
Except for the fact we're all sinners.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay? But God is powerful. And as I say, we can see that even in creation, man. When God, how did creation, how did the world, how did these things come into being? What did He do? Spoke.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it took. He's God. He's all powerful. And in that storm, I could see not only his power and the evidence of the destruction that took place in the storm, but I also could see God's power working in the lives of those he had saved. And I'm not talking just my wife and I, I'm talking about other Christians now.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Amen. Yes, they were hurting. Our people at our church, thank God, none of them were killed.
Amen.
But all but two lost everything they had. But they're still serving God.
Amen.
I'm going to jump the gun. It's Sunday night in the Philippines right now. We're 12 hours ahead. But this morning at MacArthur Independent Baptist Church, they had their Faith Promise Missions giving commitment, and it was a 37% increase from last year, and
wow,
they went through the storm.
Wow.
You see? And that's not their special. It means that God is still working.
Amen.
And He is all-powerful.
Yeah.
Not only that, did I learn that God's... I knew this. You know, a lot of things we know in our head, but sometimes we have to practice it. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, preaching's pretty easy until you have to practice what you're preaching.
Exactly.
You know, you can go out and tell people how God does this and God can help you and God can take care of your needs and all of this. But it means even more when you've gone through some situation and you've personally experienced what you've been reading and studying in the Bible. Then when you talk to them, it has more meaning. Especially if they've known you've gone through something. That's why when she said the wall came down, there's no more Filipino-Americano if you were there during that storm. That has been eradicated.
Amen.
And I was so glad to see that happen. I wish it could have been done an easier way, but I was glad to see it had happened. But also God's presence in the storm. His presence in the storm. I have to edit here as we go. Melissa. Melissa is a 21-year-old now, 22-year-old young lady, Filipina, that is. When we went to MacArthur, she was about
two.
Like this. She was 2 years old.
No, she was three.
3 years old. Anyway, she's already finished Bible college. She's in secular college getting her teaching degree now. She lives in our house. And there's another young lady a little bit older than her that lives in our house too, that's from our church. But anyway, when the flood was coming in,
she weighs about 95 pounds.
The water was rising, and Melissa doesn't know how to swim.
Oh, wow.
And the water got up to here on me in the house on the lower level. There's a stairway going up. I didn't see this, my wife did. Melissa, in one jump, climbed a wet concrete wall to get up high enough to get over the stairwell to get upstairs. Humanly speaking, she should not have been able to do that. But God's presence. God's presence. We were able to do things that we never even thought about doing. My wife, we had so many people in there with cuts. When it'd be out, and myself included, you get out, and most of us with chenilles, the flip-flops, what you call a flip-flop.
Rubber flip-flops.
Many of them even had lost those. So they're walking around barefooted. Well, there's broken glass all over the place now. And when the water was still high, I mean, you couldn't see all of that. There was, we call it GI sheet, the metal roofing that had blown off. People were getting cut, infections. We didn't have a lot of medicine. But God was with us. God gave us some knowledge about some things that we'd learned just a few months before. And I'll not get in. If you want to know about it, you can talk to us after church. Some medical treatment that we had learned about, and it was used in the Philippines back during World War II, and it was a very simple thing. Had to have oil and what was it? Sugar.
Oil and sugar, and it's floating in the floodwaters in little plastic bags.
God had provided what we needed, and that it was used, and it helped with the infections and the healing of the wounds. And of course, what T-shirts I had got ripped up into bandages, but that's all right too, you know. But what I'm saying is God's presence, He was there with us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you when you go through your hard times, when you go through your trials. He sticketh closer than a brother in Hebrews 13:5. He does not change. I think about the three Hebrew children, man, in the fiery furnace. I'm sure if they had their choice, they would have rather not gone then to the fiery furnace. But man, these three young people stood for God.
Right.
You know, that's what we need to continue to do in our lives. Whoever we're around, we need to continue to stand for God. Listen, I don't think we've got that much more time on this earth. I'm looking at all of you. You don't look like you're a whole lot younger or older than I am. So at best, I think in another 50 years, we're not going to be here. Some of you might. I'll be 63 in August. I don't think I'm going to be here over 100 either. But you know, we're not going to be around that much longer. Our time's drawing nigh, drawing short. Whether we go in a box or whether we go in the air, it's still not going to be long. And there's still lots of work to do.
That's right.
Exactly.
And do not think you're not important. Mm-hmm. In God's eyes, you are. Not because you're special, but because He is.
Mm-hmm.
And what exactly. He's wanting is a willing vessel, mm-hmm. sold out 110%. Mm-hmm. Just, I would assume many of you in here are military or you have been military. Can you imagine serving in the military like some Christians serve God? You might be court-martialed for it.
That's a good point.
That's true. Joseph, you know his story? Man, Potiphar's wife tried to accuse him of things that was not true. He got put in jail, but everywhere he went, God was with him. God took care of him. And humanly speaking, I'm sure Joseph would have not wanted to be there, but God had a purpose and all of that, and at the end, he was able to sustain and take care of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So his presence. I think about his protection in the storm. Man, we were fortunate enough to live in a concrete house, and it was damaged, but we had a place that we could stay. God kept those walls standing, because most of the houses around us were totally demolished. We had 70 of our neighbors in our house for many, many days.
Wow.
On the second level.
Simple.
But he protected us. I wasn't afraid of being with the Filipinos. That didn't cross my mind. Actually, many of them helped take care of us as much as we were taking care of them.
I don't know how to live like
that. You know? But God's protection through all of this, and He's still protecting today. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our rock. He's our fortress. Excuse me. The book of Psalms talks about that. He's our strong habitation. And Psalm 71:3, He says, "Thou art my rock and my fortress." Part of that verse, the strong habitation. Stronger than any house that you and I will ever live in. God's habitation is stronger. When we didn't have a place to live, we were in God.
Amen.
So He's still taking care of us, providing, protecting everything we need. He's our strong rock, our stronghold, our strong tower. He is a munition of rocks, our defense. He is as walls and bulwarks. He is like a garrison in which we are kept. A garrison meaning a permanent military, which you know this, installation where can be healing and protection. This is God.
Amen.
You know? But again, talk's cheap. We can talk about God all day long. It's when we get out here in the real world and live God is what people, the unsaved, need to see. Like somebody told me years ago, people would rather see a sermon than to hear one any day of the week. And when you talk about the unsaved, they're not going to knock the walls down getting into that worship center to hear preaching. I've learned a long time ago, it's a whole lot easier to get saved people to come to church than unsaved people. So that's why we spend a lot of time out in the homes and the neighborhoods witnessing and dealing with them there. And then when God saves them, it's a whole lot easier when you invite them to church for them to come. If they won't come when they say they're Christians, I doubt they're Christians.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Hope that doesn't offend any of you. I've been around a while, okay? So we're talking about God's protection. I think about God protecting the firstborn, the Israelites' firstborn at the Passover when the death angel came. I think about Daniel in the lion's den and God protecting him there. God doesn't say it's going to be a bed of roses as a Christian. But he does say, I'll be with you when you go through those hard times. I mean, let's face it. When we got saved, who indwelled us or who came to live inside of us when we got saved? Who?
The Holy Spirit.
God, the Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, three persons, right?
Yeah.
So where are we going to go? I mean, God, the Holy Spirit's not going to leave us until we get to heaven.
That's right.
So where are we going to go that God's not with us?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. When I knew the Lord was dealing with us about going to the Philippines, as many pine trees we have here, well, except in the area where the typhoon eradicated most of the coconut trees, you got coconut trees in the Philippines. And I'm thinking, God, you're taking me halfway around the world. I've never been outside the U.S. before. But I found out God could provide me a bed to sleep in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
A car to drive. Right now I don't have one. I got to get another one because flood took care of this one, the one I had. He can provide everything I need. I'm not suffering too bad. I lost a little weight, but that's okay. I could stand a little weight, lose a little weight. All right? So his provisions, he will provide, he will meet the need of his people. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But before all these things, there's something else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his
righteousness.
And then all these things should be added unto you. And you go back and study about all these things that should be added unto you. I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a husband. I understand what it is to want to care and take care of your family. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in taking care of things, we forget to let God take care of them and let's put our energy in doing what He wants us to do.
That's a good point.
But then you really got to believe God will meet your need. If you really don't believe it, then you're going to try to do everything yourself. I'm a firm believer in working. Okay? I'm a firm believer in doing things, but I'm learning. Remember, learning means I'm continuing to learn that it will put God first and let Him and do what He tells us to do. Then He will take care of these other things in the ways that He sees fit to take care of them.
Exactly.
He'll meet the need. He will provide. He will provide. He created Adam and Eve. But before He created Adam and made Eve, He had a place for them to live and had food and water there.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember this. God says, now son, you can have everything that you see except for this tree right here. That one's mine, leave it alone. Make sure we don't try to take what belongs to God for ourselves.
Exactly.
Meaning, I can't help this, I'm a preacher. Meaning, the tithe, the faith promise, the other offerings, those are God's.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Put them first.
Amen.
And let Him meet the other needs in your life. You can't give what you don't have. Oh, I like that, Pastor. I can't give what I don't have. I don't have it. I don't have to give anything. God's given every one of us in this room more than what we need most of the time.
Exactly.
We step up by faith and make the commitment that God has put on our heart and give it first. And then the faith comes in when the other things come up short. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
A lot of people think faith promises some mystical thing up in the sky. It's not. It's just down and dirty living. And putting God first. So the provisions. And then the peace. The peace. Somebody asked me after the fact, were you afraid you were going to die in the storm? I thought about that. And I, like I say, I'm not Mr. Macho. I'm not Mr. Special somebody. I said, no, I wasn't afraid I was going to die. To be honest, I was too busy to think about it. So where's the spirituality in that? God kept my mind focused on things so I wouldn't be thinking about when I saw the chandelier in the house going up and down that far as the roof kept going up and down, when the water kept coming up, when I heard the alarm on my car and I looked out one window and there goes my car floating by out in the yard. I didn't have time to think about it. We were trying to get 70 neighbors in the house and out of that stupid storm. Oh, you're somebody. No, I'm not. What would you have done? The very same thing. The very same thing. So there was a peace there that the world has no understanding about. And in the storms that you and I go through in our lives as Christians, as hard as they are, and doesn't mean you can't cry. And we men, we don't like to cry, but I older I get, the easier it seems to be coming for me. Doesn't mean that we won't suffer some pain, some hurt, some disappointments. But the way we react to that as a child of God, if we really believe who God is and what He can do, should be different than the unsaved. And they cannot have the kind of peace that you and I have. Well, brother, how do we get this kind of peace? Well, Isaiah was pretty good about this in chapter 26, I think verse 3, 2 or 3, somewhere along there, where he said, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." How? "Whose mind is stayed on thee." I've learned that when I keep my mind focused on the Lord, I'm a whole lot happier and contented than when I get my mind off. And I do get my mind off of Him sometimes. Then I get scared, afraid. What is it? 2 Timothy says that fear doesn't come from the Lord. If we really believe who God is, and we're really trusting Him, believing what the Bible says about Him, a lot of this foolishness that you and I allow to happen in our lives doesn't have to be there.
That's right.
I'm not judging. Please understand. I'm not judging anybody in this room. I don't have the right to judge you. But the Bible is truth. And just like God, because He's the author of it, God the Holy Spirit, then the Bible doesn't change either.
That's right.
The promises doesn't change. Well, that was, you know, there are some things that were just for a time gone by, like some of the spiritual gifts that are not active right now. But the promises to His children are there. They're still there. They're still there. And He will give peace during these hard times. Then it's the peace that passeth all understanding. Like I say, the unsaved, they don't get it. They don't get it. My mom and dad, they're not saved. They're in their mid-80s. My mom has Alzheimer's now. My unsaved friends, they don't get it. David, you're the only child. Quit this mess and come home. I can't. It's not because I'm special. It's got nothing to do with it. I have been out of the will of God before. I do not like it. I do not like it.
Never seems to work.
No, it doesn't work. Never. Ever does it work.
Nope.
So, I'd rather be in the center of God's will, because I've learned already that's the safest place to be. And I've learned through personal experiences with my children and my wife that God can take care of them a whole lot better than I can. A whole lot better than I can. My daughter ran away from home when she was 16 with a 21-year-old man. Lived in sin for a while. That was hard. But the day came when I finally told the Lord, "I don't care." I said, "I want her to come home, but if you don't bring her home, I'm still going to serve you." A few hours later, after the fact, she had made the same commitment to God. And just an hour or two after that, my daughter called wanting to come home.
Amen.
I watched my son at 16. He was 16 when he had to have a valve replacement in his heart. And I watched him with all the tubes connected to him, all the color out of him, looked like a corpse. But I figured, David, what can I do? I don't have the power to heal him. I don't have the power to take care of him in a situation like this. But God does.
That's right.
And my son's doing great now.
Amen.
He has a mechanical valve in his heart, but he's clicking right along. Yeah. And I can go story after story. And the thing of it is, many of you can go story after story how God has taken care of you, how He's provided, how He's protected. It's His great power, His protection, provisions, promises. It comes down to trust and believe. Now, you're getting ready to make a commitment here. That's going to be affecting a lot of people around the world. Don't let your circumstances interfere with your belief in God. So, well, you're a missionary, you would say that. I got news for you. I said that and believed that long before I ever knew God was going to call me to be a missionary. Because it's Bible.
Yeah.
It's Bible. Some of you already know what God wants you to do in this missions conference. Some of you, maybe you don't know yet. You may not have peace yet. But you're going to, I don't know whether you're going to do it in Sunday school or during the next hour or when you're going to do your faith promise commitment cards. Just make sure you know what God's will is in the matter. And then once you put that down, immediately be faithful to do your part in giving. And I can guarantee you this, because I've been around for a long time. It won't be 3 months that you're going to be tested about that giving. Some of you are smiling. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. You've been given a faith promise. You know what I'm talking about. You're going to be tested. It's not that God doesn't know what He's going to do. You just need to know what you're going to do. Am I going to obey God and continue this commitment no matter what the circumstances are? And if you'll be faithful and do that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mm-hmm. You'll find out God will always keep His end of the bargain.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to be beholden to anyone. I appreciate you. I appreciate your faithfulness here. I appreciate your faithfulness to your missions program. I hope every one of you in here is participating. Because it makes a difference, not only in the Philippines, but in the other areas that you're represented around the world here. And don't ever think, well, my little bit won't make any difference. It does. And we need people to be holding the ropes on that basket that's letting the missionary down over the wall. So if there's four ropes on there and you let go of yours, it makes that basket awful unstable. So continue to be faithful to God.
Thank you, Eddie.
When they were going through the storm there, we took up a love offering in the congregation, come up with $800 something, and we made it up to $1,000 to give them to help with their own relief efforts back home. What I'd like to do now is pass around a basket just for a love offering from the class here. They're going from church to church. You know, they got gas they got to put in the car. They got meals they got to have and so forth. So I just want to give the class an opportunity to show you love for them by just whatever you can feel like you can give.
Amen. Amen.
Much of that money you gave, along with other churches, especially the first 8 weeks after that storm, was used in buying medicines, vitamins. We bought vitamins for a year's supply for every one of the members there because they needed to keep their stamina, their strength up, to help provide for building materials to build their houses back. And we're not she'll understand this, or if you've ever been to the Philippines or a country like it, a lot of the houses aren't as big as this room.
Oh, wow.
Full families living in houses that are not as big as this room. So we're not talking about thousands of dollars like you would spend on a house here, but when you consider what people make there, I mean, the average income of our folks per family is about $137 a month.
Wow.
So, you know, to spend, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 to buy materials to replace their house, that's a lot of money to them. You have a part in helping with that.
They would never be able to.
Okay, we've got about 5 minutes. Could you entertain just a few questions?
Sure.
Anybody have any questions for him?
Yeah, I have a comment. Basically, the promise, you know, giving, what can be done is if anybody wants to designate for a certain missionary couple, periodically people will, you know, they give every week, but they'll 1 week they'll designate it for a couple, or a special gift can come in for a couple.
Yeah, what we've seen, too, is when we read a missionary letter on Wednesday night, oftentimes that will generate... somebody's touching somebody's heart, and they'll write a check and put in there for that missionary.
Yeah. And then it's designated, and then when I send in the monthly offering, I just add that right along, and it goes directly to that.
And everything given to Faith Promise is kept separated from the church budget and everything else. Matter of fact, when I sign a check, it's a different color check that I sign.
It's not.
I have a question about your Bible college, you know, your church. So, were those completely destroyed?
Our church building suffered damage. We had three or four coconut trees come down on it. The part, it's a house is what it is.
And we rent it.
But the part where we had our auditorium, it, except for some leaking of rainwater, we were able to continue on using it there. One of our widow ladies and her invalid mother who lost her house, she lived in, was living and may still be living in the church until they get her house finished. But
the Bible College.
The Bible College is at another church. Tocopen City is here. MacArthur Lathe is 1 hour south down the highway. They had typhoon winds and rain. Tocopen also had the storm surge with that.
Our church did not have
the flooding. We didn't have the flooding. Now, the Bible College is at Grace Baptist Church here in Tocopen City. And they suffered quite a bit in their library. And the church for the Bible College, many of the books had damage and stuff. A lot of mud. Now, that building, the church that the college is in, it's a good, strong concrete building, but they had to do a lot of rewiring to get it to where, you know, before they energized the power to it, because the waters came up not only at the receptacle level, but also at the switch levels.
Oh, wow.
But they're having college classes.
They have an elementary and high school also there. And all of their learning materials, they were just, whenever we would have a sunny day, they were just laying them out, trying to dry them. Mm-hmm. But they were covered with this black mud. So much of it, they lost so much of their resources, you know. And this is just one church out of how many in the general area in Region 8.
Are you having problems down there with mold, too? Because we went to carry it away. Like a year and it's still the mold on everything. The house, we
transferred from the house we were in when the typhoon hit us to another house closer to the mountains. I really didn't have the stomach to stay that close to the ocean again, to be honest. And I didn't have the drive to want to fix the house back. And I told the owner of the house that I just can't do it. I fixed his house up pretty nice a few years earlier, and I said, I just don't have the drive, and I really don't have the money to do it. So we're moving. But the new house, since it didn't get flooded, it was higher up elevation, it didn't get flooded. So I don't, and of course the windows are all open because we just got our electric back at the house we're living in now, about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had air conditioning for 4 months either to dry things up.
How long has it been since the storm?
It's been over 4 months. It seemed to be 5 months.
So they
yeah, there's only about 40% of the electric that's been restored in a 200-some thousand, about 250,000 population town. That's just that one town.
Wow.
That's not getting out in the more remote areas. So, So anyway, I don't know if that answers your question or not. Did I get off on it too far?
There is a lot of mold, and asthma is a killer in third world countries. And one thing that we were able to buy, we bought the portable nebulizers.
It runs off a battery.
And the medications. And that cost less than $100, but it saves lives. And the people in town know there is a nebulizer at the church. If you need it, you go see this lady. But people would die for lack of a $100 piece of equipment.
We had, and Grace Baptist Church in Tocloban, that's in the big city, they had a member there that had real bad asthma.
An elderly lady.
Took her to the hospital. The hospital wasn't running the generator, so therefore they couldn't run their nebulizer.
Oh, wow.
So the pastor that's at Grace Baptist, his son who grew up there, his dad's back now, but John was there during the typhoon pastoring the church. And when we were in Manila, not only did we buy that, when we bought that portable nebulizer that would run off of batteries, I told John about it. He went and got one so that the lady could come to the church and have treatments, and because she couldn't get them at the hospital. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of the hospitals were damaged quite severely,
and a lot of
the doctors and whatnot, some have, they've just left.
The equipment, the hospitals were destroyed. The relief agencies like the United Nations and Samaritan's Purse and German and French, many international agencies came and set up tent hospitals because everything was destroyed on all their equipment. So. And that's still going on today.
What's the projection date for them to be back on their feet?
I haven't heard one, but my projection date would be 2 to 3 years.
At least.
Look at New Orleans. It's still, down by where the Mardi Gras is. That was all happening a couple months later. But when people live, it's still not.
It's been a great blessing have them here.
Thank you. Let's talk more.
Yes. After church. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to have to see your. See your resources at work in mission to further your kingdom, Lord. And we're thankful for having Coltranes here. We pray you continue to bless their ministry, Lord, and be with them. Now, as we go in your sanctuary, Lord, we pray that all our words and deeds and songs of praise will be pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.